The Six C's of Fire Officer Trust. This idea came to me many, many years ago as I thought about the process of becoming an officer, through studies and talking to experienced officers and trying to draw on my own experience in the fire service, what components would make me a good officer. And in those many years ago, after being in the fire department for 27 years, watching good officers, and fortunately not too many bad officers, I looked at the characteristics. Some of them possessed all of them. Some of them may have only possessed one of them. But each of them had mastered them, and it made a profound influence and impact on my life and my career. These six C's I've found to work in varying degrees, but consistently they work. And I've been fortunate to work with a number of fire officers from every rank and in many different departments. It's been a privilege and an honor to train some of the newer fire officers that have come into our profession in a variety of ranks and disciplines. I count it a privilege because it gave us an opportunity to share information. I hope that I learned as much from them as they did from me. And it gave me critical insight into the many components of command. The prevailing question that has always been on everyone's mind was, how do you know when you know? How do you know not what you know, but when you know it to be right and in its right application? And I've kind of divided these things into six areas that I like to call the six C's of fire officer trust. They are commitment, competence, confidence, communication, courtesy, and courage. They can follow in any order, believe it or not. As I've said, I've seen some only exercise one. I've seen some exercise a multitude of them, but in different ways and methods. However, even though they all may follow a different path, I always like to save the last one, courage. Courage for me is the key added component at the end of the other C's. So let us begin. The first C is commitment. It's all about commitments. Every commitment that you can think of, believe it or not, will impact you as a fire officer. And yeah, there's more than one. It's not just a commitment to the job. It begins with a true commitment to yourself, wanting to be the best that you can be through preparation, study, advancement. It is the best possible person that you can be. And you have to set your mind to do that early. Then there's a commitment to your families, because without our family support, the support on the outside, off the job, in between the jobs and tours, there's never an opportunity for us to even make it. We have to be sound. We have to be clear on our commitments with our families off the job. Making sure that they trust, the trust that they placed in us is warranted and is not taken in vain. We want to make sure that while we spend time away from them, that it's clear that we are focused on our career and our service. No one forced you to select this career. Think about it. It's something that you decided to do yourself. And in making that decision, was your family behind it? Did you have to convince them? Do you have to continually convince them that you're in the right place and at the right time? You honor their faith in you by committing to be and do your best, and to keep them in the loop, as we say. Now, there's the commitment to your agency and your organization. Whatever type of organization it is, volunteer, career, governmental, it doesn't matter whether it is a combination department of paid and volunteer, large or small. You must be committed to give them 1,000% of your efforts, 1,000% of the required time that you need to give them. And it means when you show up for work, are you giving them all of your time? Or are we being distracted by personal digital devices such as our phones, internet, and alike? Are we committed to give them all the time? You must be committed also to conforming to the rules and regulations and policies of that agency or department. You must be committed to taking care of the equipment that's been placed in your charge, the personnel that you may have the opportunity to supervise. your cohorts, colleagues, whomever you're going to be working with, you must also commit to your superiors to deliver the best possible representation of that organization to them. You must be committed to the vision, mission, and goals of the organization. Then you must make a conscious effort to be committed to the citizens that you serve through your organization, to be professional at all times, and to provide the best possible service you and your organization can deliver when needed. Let's focus on the second C, which is competence. When we speak of competence, what we're saying is to continue to learn and grow in your organization. Learn the inner and outer workings of it. Learn and work with the other agencies that may interact with your organization or even support it, auxiliary organizations and ancillary organizations. Seek out opportunities and events that will allow you to share and network with those other organizations who may not only be a part of your profession, but may not be a part of your profession. Become multidisciplined. Think about the others who may know a better way of doing things. When we network, sometimes we shut other people down, especially from other organizations, and say, well, that's your agency. My agency works this way. If we're all about serving the public, if we're all about safety, if we're all about doing the right thing, might there not be a way or a better way or a different way of thinking about how we do our jobs? A better application, a better tool, a better technology, a better method. What we want to be able to do is to stay current. Now, how do we do that? Well, we can read trade publications, we can search the internet, we can go to trade shows and training seminars, but are we open and receptive to new ideas? Do we know how to synthesize them in our own organizations? We want you to expand your awareness of industry trends and evolving technologies that may assist you in the effective management of your responsibilities. You must master the tactics and tools and strategies of our organizations. You also must master the rules and procedures. You've got to know them cold. At any time, someone can ask you about our industry, and you need to be prepared to give them the proper and appropriate answer. In other words, you've got to study, and read, and when you've had enough, take a nap, get up, and read some more. The third C is confidence. With the prior two C's in place, with your commitments identified and your competence improving through reading, study, and expanding your knowledge base, we can focus on the third C, which will actually come automatically if you handle the first two. That third C is confidence. Confidence comes when you know who you are and where you are in your organization. It comes when you know what your function and purpose are. Confidence comes from knowing what your responsibilities are, knowing who you are responsible to and who you are responsible for, knowing the length and breadth of your authority or your purview, knowing the depth of your commitments. When confidence comes, it gives you what we call command presence. This is not to be confused with ego or evolve into arrogance, by the way. There is a decided difference between the two of those things. Confidence does not have to be boastful or egotistical. Confidence can and should be quiet assurance of what is right, fair, and appropriate. The fourth C is communication. The fourth C is one of the most pivotal. Communication, duh. Effective and appropriate communication is critical at all times and at all levels in our profession. Where do I begin? In our offices and fire stations, both written, visual, and other nonverbal communication affect our very day-to-day operations. On the fire ground or on the scene of any emergency, communication is vital, and it comes to us through so many mediums, by radio, mobile phone, even reading a material safety data sheet at the scene, pre-panned guidelines, and computer data terminals all require effective communication. It is so important when managing people and emergencies to effectively convey thoughts, orders, and concerns. Communication is the bedrock of how we get things done. It's so important. However, many times it's overlooked in its significance. Making sure that we communicate effectively at all times is job one in our business. The great thing about communication is that it can be improved upon at any time. The study and practical application of conveying messages must be learned and practiced. The only component we do not have control over that's necessary for all effective communication is feedback. Feedback comes from listening. Communication is considered by many to be a two-way process, but I tend to think it's often a three-way, four-way, and maybe even a five-way process. Let's face it, we send a message to a receiver. Does that sound simple to you? It's not. We have the message, the sender, and now the receiver. Does that sound simple? Still not. We must be clear with our messages. We must be effective with our communication style. More importantly, we must listen for confirmation and/or questions regarding the message. We have to be mindful of our delivery system and medium. We have to be aware of our surroundings, interference, noise, static, and/or even perception in our delivery. We must study communication and practice communication. We must seek opportunities to determine if our message was transmitted correctly, even while transmitting the message. We must also be patient when we're listening. Hearing is the physical act of receiving the sound. Listening is interpretation and processing. There is a difference. Ask any married person. But I digress. To attain fire officer trust, we must be just as good a listener as we are a communicator. You can quote me on this. Seek to hear before you are heard. The fifth C is courtesy. On September 13, 1981, I lost my dear mother, and she left this earth. Couple that date with the 11th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, I can assure you this has been a pretty tough week. Not a day goes by that I don't miss her or think of my friends that I lost 11 years ago. Through it all, I remember what she taught me early on in my life, and I honor my friends and my colleagues and cohorts by exercising it. It's called courtesy. My mom had pretty simple rules. She had about four of them that I can remember that had profound impact on me. They were as follows. Think about this in the workplace. Keep your hands to yourself. Share and share alike. If you don't have anything nice to say about anyone, don't say anything at all. And if you have the ability to help someone, you help them. Sounds simple, right? But we show up every day and violate one or sometimes even all of these rules, and I still don't know why. You help people. That's what we do. In our business, they call us, we show up, and we fix things. We rescue them, or we make their situation better than when we found it. If we can't, we get someone there who can, and we don't leave them until they do. Be courteous at all times. It makes a difference. Our profession in some places is getting a bad name, undeservedly so. However, in some cases, we earned that bad reputation from the actions and attitudes of some of our own. Be professional. It costs you nothing and reaps immeasurable benefits. The sixth C is courage. Change the things you can. Accept the things that you can't, but have the courage to try. Courage is not only needed in our field, It's warranted. It is needed in the decision-making of our organizations as well. It doesn't only rely or stand on the fireground. We have to have the courage to change our culture, ourselves, and our thinking when it is needed. I have witnessed some heroic and courageous acts and decision on the fireground to save lives that still impress me to this day. Yet I also witness day in and day out officers who lack the courage to even insist that their members wear their seat belts, which are not only required by law, but will also protect them when responding and returning to emergencies. Courage is needed sometimes when we have to admit that we're wrong, that we failed to meet our objectives, that we missed the mark. The cowboy way is not always the courageous way. In conclusion, you don't have to agree. I know these things work. Try all of them, I hope. Try one. It can't hurt. The answer to my original question, how do you know when you know? You know when your peers and your community respond to you in such a way that you know they trust you. Until then, keep striving, and I'll see you out there.